Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Do your balls hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Do you tie them in a knot? Do you tie them in a bow? Do you throw them over your shoulder like a Continental soldier? Do your balls hang low? Obviously, it's not my business, but it is my business to type out Manscaped, who's number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. They got the precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Accidents can happen. They suck. They can ruin your weekend. But let them be a thing of the past with the Lawnmower 2.0. It's got skin-safe technology. It's easy on your nuts. No nicks or snags. And if you're Miles Garrett and you're probably listening to this, your weekends have probably opened up. So go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR for 20% of your first purchase and free shipping. They got goodies such as the crop preserver. It's deodorant from down there. So if you're putting it on your pits, put some down below. In certain situations, you need the right tools for the job. Taking your helmet off and swinging at somebody is not a good idea during a football game. But for here, you can control it. So go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR. Get 20% of your first purchase and get your free shipping. Your balls will thank you later. All right, guys. Welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast. It's Vlad Harris here. I wasn't even supposed to podcast today, but I'm working from home, and obviously there's some things that I got to take care of here. And obviously too much happened last night for me not to record. I could record Monday or Tuesday, but, I usually do 2 shows a week, so why not wrap it up? Because I didn't do the games for this weekend for college football. Pitt won last night, and obviously it was without drama. I mean, it wasn't without drama. Actually, you know what? This game should never been as close as it was. And I know Pitt obviously was doing Pitt things towards the end. They came close to blowing it. But let's be honest here. This whole thing was bullshit to begin with. Pitt should have won this game and should have took him out early. And, the total should have went under as well. But, obviously I forgot that we're playing against North Carolina, which means obviously this game is going to be badly officiated because that's how, the freaking Blue Bloods are. Because there was plenty of drives, plenty of situations that where North Carolina got kept alive on some bad penalties. Although, the first targeting that Amir Watts did, that was a horrible thing he did, and somehow they took the targeting away. They waved it. I have no idea why. The only thing I can think of is it was the play was maybe still alive, and he thought it was still alive, and he just hit him. But if you're gonna wave that, why the hell are you gonna throw out Damar Hamlin? Because his penalty wasn't really even targeting. But they threw him out anyway, so I don't get either one. I was thinking maybe the one for Amir Watts was the makeup for the one they missed a week and a half ago when Maurice French got his face rearranged, and obviously he was out. He was out for this game. Only thing I can think of. But yeah, the Manny Stalker one, or Jazzy Stalker, I should say, that kept the drive alive and we went to overtime. That was an obvious one. He got to the guy before the ball, but there were just so many bullshit calls. And this game, Pitt should have won this game by more. And the game should have been over even before overtime. But, it's ACC officiating. We're playing North Carolina. I don't know why. North Carolina has nothing on the fucking line for this game. They had nothing on the line. but for some reason, they got their way. I mean, Shockey Jockey had a touchdown reversed, and it was plainly obvious. It was ruled a touchdown, and there was no evidence to overturn that whatsoever. None. And what happens? They reversed it. I'm not sure what they looked at, or if they have some sort of secret technology to, figure it out. But there was nothing that could reverse that call. But somehow they reversed it. I don't see why. So obviously the ACC, and they're obviously blowing Mac Brown, because that's the only thing I can think of at this point. But if we look at some of the positives here, there's a lot of them. Kenny Pickett had a hell of a game. 25 of 41, 359 yards, a touchdown, no interception. He had a rushing touchdown as well. In fact, he had 53 yards on the ground. Actually, he had two rushing touchdowns. He had three total TDs. So Kenny Pickett had over 400 yards of total offense and three touchdowns. So he's obviously the player of this game. I mean, you can't really complain about this. I mean, not to mention he's not really a guy I can throw down a field, but he did, and he made it work. In a running game as well, A.G. Davis was their leading rusher. He had 58 yards on 19 carries. But with Maurice French out, you figured they were going to key up on our offense, especially our passing game. But if you look at the stats here, I mean, Shockey Jockey, four catches, 104 yards, and a touchdown. He had a hell of a game. Taysier Max, six catches, 83 yards. Great game as well. I mean, Aaron Matthews had a catch for 30 yards. Jared Wayne stepped in, four catches, 30 yards. Nakia Griffin-Stewart had one catch for 20 yards, although I believe he had a crucial drop, but we'll let it slide this time. Will Gregg, three catches, 26 yards. I mean, Vlade Carter, two catches, 24 yards. I mean, Kenny spread the ball out all over the place. North Carolina, on the other hand, well, eventually their quarterback was misfiring all game, and eventually he hit, and, Pitt gave up over 100 yards on the ground on defense. Antonio Williams had 12 carries, 107 yards. North Carolina's receivers, Daz Newsome, 11 catches, 170 yards. Bo Corrales, 5 catches, 92. De'Ami Brown, 5 catches, 35 yards. North Carolina is eventually going to be really good. It depends on how Mac Brown's recruiting is. Before he left Texas, his recruiting went really to the woodshed, and that's why Texas is a mess as they are now. But total yards, Pitt had 490 yards of total offense, although North Carolina had 458, which they had some help from the officials. Although if you look at the penalties, they were kind of even, but still there were some pretty crucial ones that North Carolina was the benefit of. So Pitt moves on. They're 7-3, 4-2 in the ACC. Now they get to close their next two ACC games at home. They got Virginia Tech. I misread that. They go to Blacksburg next week for Virginia Tech, and then they close out at home against Boston College. Virginia Tech has been playing a lot better as of late, so that game obviously is not a guaranteed win, but it's winnable. Same with Boston College. Pitt has a chance to close out at 9-3, so let's see how that goes. Pat Narduzzi has some animated comments for after the game. He said they won two games, and they beat North Carolina and somebody else, but he wouldn't say who. And obviously, I'm sure he doesn't want to get fined, and he probably will get some sort of criticism from, the conference over that. It'll be expected, but yeah, I would agree with him with that. He obviously, we didn't get the benefit of the doubt from the officials on certain things, and I don't know. But at the end of the day, Pitt won. It wasn't without drama, because Pitt sure had this game won, but they couldn't, close the deal. But then the game goes over time, and then Pitt finally closed the deal. So, exciting game. We move on, and that's that. I mean, obviously, there were some other things we did. We passed up on a field goal to go for it, and it was a bad play call. And, of course, we missed a field goal. So, those are 6 points we lost as well. But all in all, you gotta it's a win. Be happy with it. And let's move on to the next one. Now, on the other channel, on Fox, the Steelers took on the Browns. I thought the Steelers would win this one, but I forgot that Cleveland still has a halfway decent defense because their quarterback, you know, sucks. And watching that game, that's pretty much what happened. The only reason why Cleveland really won this game is because Mason Rudolph is worse than Baker Mayfield was. And people are going to say, well, you know, Mason had to deal with this and that. Well, Mason still was bad overall. It doesn't take away the fact that he was bad in this game. And, of course, Cleveland got away with a lot of cheap shots. And it took a Steelers player to get the Apollo Creed Ivan Drago treatment to actually realize that they had to start making these calls and ejecting people for these bullshit hits. And it got worse later in the game the game was pretty much over. Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett got into it. And there's just been, you know, the thing about Twitter is there's just so many opinions. And everybody's so trying so hard to defend Myles Garrett. Well, not everybody, but there's just, you have two sides of this. You have the one group that says, it doesn't matter what Myles Garrett did. You don't take off your helmet, you don't swing a helmet at somebody. And the other side says, well, there was something that Mason Rudolph did that, you know, caused this. And if you look, Mason Rudolph, you know, tried to pull Myles Garrett's helmet off and supposedly tried to grab his nuts. And well, here's the thing. The play was over. Myles Garrett slams Mason Rudolph and is on top of him. Obviously, you know, as a quarterback, if a guy on top of you won't get the hell off you, you're going to get pissed off. You know, and so he tried to rip his helmet off. And unfortunately for Mason, Myles reciprocated and ripped his helmet off. And unfortunately, you know, it got out of hand after that. It basically got taken to a whole other level. What should have happened was this. Myles rips Mason's Rudolph helmet off. The guys break up and that's it. Well, Myles decided to swing the helmet at Mason. And as some people point out, like Jeff Schwartz did, is these helmets are very heavy. They're pretty much weapons. So you can really, you know, seriously injure somebody swinging at, you know, with that. Luckily for Mason, he didn't get the brunt of it. But that's just what happens. Obviously, Myles Garrett's going to get suspended, and rightfully so. If Mason Rudolph gets anything, he probably gets a fine. It was basically just a fight initially that should have been just a fight. It's just that one person took it to a whole other level than what it should have been, and that's that. I'm sure Pouncey will get suspended for, you know, his role as well, for basically coming to the aid of his quarterback and beating the crap out of Myles Garrett. But Myles Garrett did show remorse, and he's going to take accountability. Supposedly, from what I've been reading, is that Cleveland has been very undisciplined all season. It's not just Baker Mayfield. It's the whole team that's been acting like this. And basically, that's on the head coach. But that's what happens sometimes when you hire a coordinator instead of an actual head coach type person, is that they don't have a necessarily control over a team that they should have. And for him, maybe this is, for Freddie Kitchens, this is a more of a learning experience where he knows that he has to get his players in line and have them not do dumb shit like this. I don't know. But the Steelers had an opportunity to go 6-4 and keep themselves alive in the playoffs. Now they got very little room for error, and I really don't see them making the playoffs now. I mean, they may go 8-8, and who knows? They may make the playoffs, but they're obviously out of the North. That belongs to the Ravens. But if they really want to make the playoffs, that's another story, as a wild card. As far as Mason Rudolph goes, I don't think, just by looking at him, I've seen him this season. He really isn't the long-term solution for the Steelers. If anything, you get Ben back next season when he's healthy. Get him for one last year. And, of course, you don't have a pick in 2020 for the draft, first round. So you got two options. You try to find a quarterback in the second round, if they have a second-round pick. Or you get Ben back for next season and then get your number one pick. But regardless, the Steelers are probably going to have to draft a quarterback. Unless they go to Atlanta this weekend and look at Colin Kaepernick. I know that may draw some ire, but, I don't know if they'll actually go and do it. And if they do sign him, who knows if he even plays. Yeah, I doubt he'll play, if anything else. I'm thinking he might. But, I've been ringing up on this whole thing, this Kaepernick workout, and I think as certain people pointed out on Twitter is that the hope after when Kaepernick settled his lawsuits that NFL teams would sign him, and nobody has come to sign him. And I think this is the NFL's way of trying to avoid another lawsuit, because obviously there's collusion happening now, as it looks like it. I'm not saying collusion, that the NFL teams are still colluding against Kaepernick, but based on the fact that he has been signed, it's giving off that there's still collusion happening and nobody's signing him. So if anything, this is probably the NFL's way of getting him, trying to get him out, get him advertised, and who knows, maybe somebody picks him up. You never know. It's funny because Dwayne Wade, being on Twitter, said, oh, how cool would it be if Colin Kaepernick's receivers that worked out with him were Ocho Cinco, Terrell Owens, and I forget the third one. Oh, Antonio Brown. And I guess, Dwayne wanted to do something cool for Twitter and make a tweet like that, because that's just how that goes. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome. But then when they have the workout, the scouts will be like, well, I can totally use Ocho Cinco in my offense. He can still play. And then they'll want to sign Terrell Owens, and they'll want to sign Antonio Brown. Basically, they'll sign the wide receivers, but not Colin Kaepernick, is probably what will happen here. I don't know. After three seasons of not playing in the NFL, I don't know if I think, Kaepernick can have a backup role at this point. He's 32 years old. I'm sure he's still got something left in the tank. At least, second or third string. Obviously not a starter right now. I mean, the guy should have had a job long ago. Even during his protest, he should, after, his final year, he was going to stop kneeling. But teams decided not to sign him. And the only thing I think of is, teams are just choosing to avoid whatever is going on around him, because he's got, he has some, people around him that cause more drama than it's actually worth. And sometimes if you're signing a guy to a backup or whatnot, it's not worth the drama. But, we got other cases where guys are domestic abusers and they still get jobs. It's complicated. But I think the guy should still, he should have a job in this league. He should still be in the league. It just didn't happen for whatever reason. And, hopefully for him, he gets his workout. And teams look at him, and if he's got something, he's got something. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's just how it's going to be. Oh, well, let's get off of that. We got plenty of games this weekend, but let's take a quick word. Yes, let's talk about sex. Let's not talk about you and me, because, that'd be very awkward. But let's talk about getting that extra confidence in bed and getting that maximum performance. Who knows? Maybe you're getting the job done, maybe you're Jason Kendall and you're hitting those singles. Singles get the job done, but maybe you want to hit home runs like Barry Bonds. That's why we got the BlueChew.com. BlueChew is blue just like the pill. like the Keller. Go to BlueChew.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR, and get your first order free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Now, you may have to do a 5-minute exam, but it doesn't take long. So instead of being Jason Kendall, if you want to be Barry Bonds and hit those home runs, go to BlueChew.com and hit some big home runs today. All right. All right, folks, we're done with that. So that's a work in progress right now. I thought it would be a great idea to use salt and pepper this time for BlueChew.com. And, of course, talk about Jason Kendall and Barry Bonds at the same time. But let's talk about this weekend's slate of college football games, why don't we? Now let's look at the ACC first. Alabama State is playing Florida State. Barring any huge meltdown, I'm sure Florida State will win this one and get to 6 wins and get to their bowl game. Big ACC matchup, Wake Forest, 7-2, 3-2 overall in the ACC. Going against Clemson, that's a big game. Clemson should obviously win this one, but they're a 34-point favorite. I don't know about this one. I think Wake may cover this one, but I think Clemson wins. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. Now, here's something very interesting. Virginia Tech is 3-2 in the ACC. So they're actually still in this race for the Coastal. If they beat Pitt and beat Virginia, they could be playing Clemson in the championship game. But they got Georgia Tech, and they should be able to win this one easily. So, obviously, Pitt's game next week against Virginia Tech is obviously a critical one. Actually, these next two, they're all critical. So, if they want any type of hope, here you go. Syracuse and Duke, two pretty disappointing teams. Syracuse was supposed to challenge Clemson this year in the Atlantic, and Syracuse is 3-6 overall, 0-5 in the ACC. Very disappointing. They're playing Duke. I think Syracuse will get out of the funk here and they'll win this one. Louisville and NC State. Same thing here. NC State disappointing. I think they're at home against Louisville. I think Louisville will take them out. And I think they'll take them to the woodshed. Top 25 action. Indiana, 24th ranked, playing Penn State. Penn State obviously dipped to 9 after their loss. Indiana has played a really easy schedule. I mean, they have their losses, I guess they got destroyed by Ohio State weeks ago, but they've been beneficial to having an easy schedule. And same Minnesota did too, but obviously Minnesota had some, they were able to back it up last week. Here's the same thing, although Indiana runs a similar offense to Minnesota, but Minnesota is just a little more talented. Penn State's 14.5. I think Penn State will blow out Indiana. Indiana never beats Penn State hardly ever. So I think they beat them one time, and it was during the during the Bill O'Brien era. It was Bill O'Brien's final year. They beat them. Michigan State, Michigan. At one time, Michigan State was dominating the series. Now the tides have turned because Michigan State's offense is horrible. Michigan. They're 13-point favorites. Don't blow them out. Yeah, this is if they get really blown out, I think the Spartans will probably have to be looking to do some of their coaching staff. Notre Dame and Navy. This is a big game. Navy's 7-1. Go against 7-2 Notre Dame. I think Navy will give them a game. In fact, I think Navy beats them. And these are some point favorite. I think they'll win. Ohio State got Rutgers, 52-point favorite over Rutgers. Ohio State has covered almost just about every week. I think they cover again, and it's even worse because Rutgers is just freaking horrible. Georgia and Auburn, that's a huge game. It's at Auburn. Georgia's a 3-point favorite. I don't know. I think I actually like Auburn this one. I like Auburn at home. because Georgia has been known to have hiccups. Minnesota plays Iowa. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Well, actually, 4 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Central. Minnesota's 8th ranked. Iowa 20th ranked. I think it's a low score one, but Minnesota pulls it out. LSU should destroy Ole Miss. Big 12, a huge showdown. Oklahoma and Baylor. Excuse me, I have my Microsoft Outlook up, and it's obviously giving me those email notifications. I like Oklahoma in this one because Baylor has been kind of struggled as of late. And I think Oklahoma's a 10-point favorite. I think they went by 2 touchdowns. And that's pretty much it for the top 25. I mean, that's pretty much for the whole weekend. Obviously, for us Pitt fans, we get to enjoy the weekend because, well, our game already happened and we won it. And we don't have to, we don't have to bitch about anything. But enjoy this weekend's college football games and the NFL games because, if you're a Steelers fan, obviously your weekend sucks. But if you're a Pitt fan, you get to enjoy the weekend. You get to walk around all happy and shit. Enjoy things. And plus, Pitt Hoops got West Virginia tonight. We got that going for us. I'm not sure what happens there. It depends on which Pitt team shows up. I mean, hopefully we keep it close and hopefully we win. I like to see us beat the Hoopies, but sometimes it's just not in the cards. And this team obviously is still, we're still trying to develop. So hopefully things work out there. But you guys have a great weekend. Hail to Pitt. Enjoy all the Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett takes today because there's a shitload of them. And there's too many of them. So enjoy that. And have a great weekend, guys. Hail to Pitt. Bye.